We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
John chapter 6, verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, saying, "This is a hard saying, who can hear him?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured or complained at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore say I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And that's what I want you to see. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also..." Can you not just feel the compassion and the hurt in that question? "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now I want you here this morning in these few verses that I read in your hearing this morning, and I would take for a text this morning from this scripture, not everyone walks away. Not everyone walks away. Now, we're talking here about the ministry of the Lord Jesus and his followers, and we all know that every ministry faces difficult times. And so we know that that's just a given. No matter who ministry it is or what kind of a ministry that it is, we all know that it goes through hard times. There'll be times when things are up in the ministry. There'll be times when things are down in the ministry. But during all those times, there are a few members who are doing what they can to see that the ministry grows, and there's nobody ever trying to do something to lose supporters, but we're all trying to do what that we can to increase and support. In fact, here, those who are called to leadership in positions in the church and other Christian ministries are doing everything that they can to ensure continuous success and growth in the ministry. But here in John chapter 6, it seems to me that Jesus is doing all that he can to drive many of the people away, and so that he can for his ministry. That's what I'm wanting you to see there. The natural thing is that we try to get all the followers and involved in the ministry that we can, but what Jesus is saying here, it looks like that he is trying everything to get members to turn back or followers to turn back from following him. Evidently here, he didn't read some of the books. Jesus didn't read some of the books that I've read on church growth and how to increase attendance, and I've read all those good books that people has read, and boy, I didn't find anywhere in there how to do it is the way that Jesus did it right here. And so I want us to see here, we all have these, want to have these successful enlargement drives and try to grow the church, but it looks like here that Jesus was having an installment drive here. He was trying to increase the people, because if you look here, when John chapter 6 starts, Jesus has over 5,000 followers. Listen here, and they were listening to him speak, but when the chapter closes, he only has 12 followers, and one of them is not even saved. Boy, that's losing people pretty fast, then. Started out over 5,000, and at the end there, he only had 12, and one of them is unsaved. So what Jesus is doing here, if he's doing anything here in these verses, he is issuing a call to commitment. Now, that's what he's talking about. That is what I want us to understand here this morning is that he's calling us to commitment. He knows that many of these followers that were following him are merely following him for what they can get for the flesh, the bread and the fishes and all of those kind of things. And so Jesus here, he lays down the gauntlet here and calls for every one of those followers to commit to him and to commit to him alone. And so he calls here, this commitment here is twofold. I want you to see here, first of all, he clarifies his call. Not only that, but he clarifies his message and his mission and his ministry here to those who would follow him. And then the second thing here that he's trying to do is, he's trying to purify the ranks of his disciples. In other words, he's trying to weed out those who are not genuine in their faith and in their commitment. He's trying to weed them out. As Jesus is speaking to them here, our text verse reveals Jesus calmly here stating the truth about himself and about his ministry. That he's the bread of life that came down from above. And here we're allowed to see the thousands of people turn their backs on Jesus and walk away. Now, after the crowds leave, verse 66, Jesus immediately turns to the 12 disciples there in verse 67, and he asks them to make a personal commitment right here as well. And you can almost hear his heart break as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ looks at those 12 that has followed him for 3 years and said, "Will ye also go away? Are you going to leave me too? Are you going to desert me? Are you going to leave me?" Friends, we're living in an hour when many people are walking away from the things of the Lord. Is that not true? That should not surprise us, because that's just exactly what the Word of God said would happen in the last days. We're told that there will be in the last days a great falling away. Well, I think that we see that today. I think we understand it. We're also tells us in the Word of God that in the end times, there'll be men will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Yet when it seems to be happening around us, we're surprised. Why should we be shocked and surprised when we see the falling away, when God said in his word, that's the way it's going to be in the end time? And so I think these verses that we read here this morning shed some light on the problem. Why people are turning and walking away from the Lord. While people are turning and walking away from the church and the ministries. There's some insights into this text right here as to why people make the decision they do concerning their walk with the Lord. Now allow me, if I can, to share with you just for a few minutes here this morning and consider the thought, not everyone walks away. And so if you'll look, and let me show you some reasons why that in the end time or now that people are walking away. And first of all, if you look in verse 60 through verse 66, the first thing is why people are walking away is not everyone can handle the truth. Amen. Not everyone can handle the truth. In fact, the matter is, why not everyone walks away from the Lord, some do. And we all know that. So why is that? It takes this passages right here And I think we can find the answers here to that question. Now, as this chapter unfolds, it becomes very, very clear here that they began to doubt Jesus. They became very suspicious of Jesus, and even became very hostile concerning Jesus. And Jesus sees this. And so these passages right here, he wanted to make, and they wanted to make him king. We all read that. Whenever he'd feed the multitude and do all these miracles, they wanted to take him and make him king after he fed them the bread and the fishes. But now, in verse 15, they wanted to make him king, and now they want nothing to do with him. In other words, after they hear his message, they couldn't handle the truth. They don't want nothing to do with him now. And so, why the change? Why did they go from wanting to take him and make him king to the point where now they don't want nothing to do with him? What caused that? Why did that happen? And so, why the change? Jesus told them the truth and they couldn't handle it. Notice here, he said in verse 29, Jesus said, I'm the way of salvation. They couldn't handle that. He said that he was the Son of the living God. They could not handle that. They thought he was a prophet. He said that he was superior to Moses and the manna. He said that salvation was a matter of faith alone. He said that apart from God's intervention, nobody could believe on him except that the Father draws them. So he shared truths with them that they could not handle. And so they rejected him. And so when truth is revealed to us, there's only two possible reactions that we can do. And that is, we can receive the truth or we can reject the truth. And so when the truth is presented to you, you have, just like everybody else, you have those two options. I can receive it or I can reject it. And so we see here that the majority of these, they rejected it, and the people received the truth when they see it for what it is. Truth. When you understand this is truth. And so people reject the truth for many reasons. And here's some of the reasons why that people reject the truth. One is, some people misunderstand it. Now, Nicodemus thought that Jesus was talking about geology whenever that he was actually speaking about a new birth, a spiritual birth. Not only that, the woman at the well that I spoke about last week, she thought that Jesus was talking about planning whenever that Jesus was actually talking about himself as the water of life. As I said last week, Jesus said, you drank of that water there, you're going to continue to thirst. It was the things of this world, and the parallel is, and the contrast is, what Jesus is saying is, you can partake of anything in the world that you want to partake of, but it will not satisfy you. But whenever you receive me as your personal Savior and have a relationship with me, that you'll never thirst or you'll never long for anything of this world again. Amen. And that's what he says. And she didn't understand that until she received him. And the man at the pool of Bethesda, he thought Jesus was talking about a rescue mission when he was actually talking about placing his faith in the Lord Jesus. So the trend continues today. And that's why people join the church and are baptized without being saved. Because, listen, they think somehow or another, they think if they join the church and baptize, that'll be enough. But it will not be enough. You must be born again. We was coming up the road, and the boys asked me, said, are we members of the church? I said, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know whether you joined the church or not. And they said, we want to be. What is required? I said, the only thing that's required is that you know that you're saved. I said, do you know you're saved? And they said, yes, we do. I said, I know you've been baptized. I baptized you. And I said, now, they said, is it hard? I said, well, you have to answer some questions, yes or no. And if you say no, then we've got problems with what we agree. And so what we're seeing here is, that's why people
do these kind of things. Here he is, and he's continually is, and that's why the Word of God is so offensive to many people. Is they don't want, they reject truth, and so here they misunderstand the truth, and as a result they reject it, and some people are opposed to the truth. Jesus revealed himself with his demands here in this passage. The Jews were in constant and increasing opposition. The Jews were not able to accept his deity. They could not accept the fact that he was God. They rejected that. Not only that, but they did not, they didn't accept his impending death. They did not accept his claim of lordship. They opposed him at every turn. So it is today in which we're living. Many are opposed to the truth of the Word of God and the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you listen. His call to commitment goes against their desire to live for self. That we know that's true. We know that is the truth in the day in which that we live. The call of God, the Lord Jesus, that's stated in the Word of God, for as far as commitment, it goes against the desires of people's flesh. And so they reject it. And what happens is they find themselves in opposition to the Lord. Now the claims of the gospel and the claims of the cross and the claims of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is designed to be offensive. And so it offends some people. And some people are blind to it. All the way through this passage, the Jews had this approach to Jesus. And this is what they said. You show us and we'll believe. You show us. You just go ahead and show us, and then we'll believe what you're saying. They had already seen him feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. They'd already seen them, and they'd already realized that somehow or another he got to the other side of the lake. They'd already seen him do all of these miracles, and when he made his claim and issued his call to commitment, they were unable to see the truth because they were blind. Now, the sad fact of the matter is this right here. All men are blind to the truth until their eyes are supernaturally opened by the intervention of God. Lost people are blind to the truth until God opens their eyes supernaturally. Now look at this right here. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And whom the God of this world? Who is the God of this world? It's the devil. And whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We say we just cannot understand why people will not receive the Lord Jesus. And we all stood there where those stand, and the reason that we did not receive him was because the God of this world, the devil, had our eyes blinded to the, and our minds blinded, that we could believe that we needed Jesus in order to be saved. Now that's why so many people reject the truth and embrace the lie, because they're blind to the truth. But some people want experience, but not the expectation. Now, these people were following Jesus because he had satisfied their fleshly appetites. They wanted more of the same. Look at verse 34. In fact, they wanted Jesus to prove that he was greater than Moses. They were looking for something that satisfied their flesh and made them feel good about themselves. Is that not the trend that we see in churches today? Yeah. They want to come and hear the preacher or somebody give them something to make them feel good about themselves. They don't want to hear something that will condemn them or something that will rebuke them. But they want to hear something that will make them feel good. And so, in fact, here, this is what they had an experience. They wanted to be following the next king. They wanted the miracles, and they wanted the sensationalism. But when Jesus began to talk about his expectations and issued a call to commitment, they turned away from him and they walked away. Why did they do that? They wanted to be carried away in the excitement of the movement with no commitment. They wanted to be carried away with the excitement of the movement, but they did not want to make no commitment to him. And so they chose to walk away. They said, we can't do it. Some people want the experience, but not the expectation. The same mentality has developed within the church. There's many today that wants the religious experience, but without any expectation. Don't you expect anything from me. Don't you expect me to contribute anything. They want to serve God for what they can get out of it, without any concern for his glory or for his will. They want entertainment, and they want excitement without the commitment that comes along with the proclamation of the truth. Did you know the churches today that are growing the fastest are those who minimize biblical doctrine, those who minimize requirement of the faith, and those that emphasize entertainment and experience. Now, as you can see, and I know this, and I'm not trying to be critical of anybody, but I just know the truth, and I know this. All you need to succeed today as a church is a contemporary band. If you can just get you a good contemporary band, a message that challenges no one's life. Don't preach anything that would challenge anybody. Get you a youth program that will babysit the children while the parents are lulled to sleep by a touchy, feeling, little emotional sermonette.
Right.
But it's devoid of any truth. People who walk away from the things of God are selfish people.
Right.
They don't want to do anything. They want everything for themselves, but they don't want to give anything in return. They don't want to make no commitments to the Lord. And so they're only concerned about themselves and how they feel. Imagine how the disciples felt when the multitudes walked away. Those who are left are always adversely affected by those who choose to walk away. Imagine starting out with over 5,000 and now it's down to 12, and they all walked away because Jesus asked them to make a commitment to him and to him alone. They liked it when he was feeding them and all the excitement of the miracles and all the excitement of the things that were going on. They loved that. But when it came time to make a commitment, they walked away. And so I want you to see something else here. I want you to understand not everyone can handle the truth. Sometimes the truth is tough, ain't it?
Yes.
Sometimes it's tough. Not only that, sometimes the truth makes demands upon our lives. Sometimes the truth is brutal. It seems unfeeling sometimes. But the truth is always true. It's always right. And it's always perfect. But the truth is today, not everyone can handle the truth. And so rather than dealing with the truth and measuring up to the truth, they choose to walk away. And so here, the second thing I want you to see, everyone lives in a glass house. How about that? Ain't that what the old people used to say? Don't throw stones when you live in a glass house yourself. I think I've heard that.
Yes.
I ain't no older than some of you people, so you've heard it too. But we all live in glass houses. Every one of us here today. In other words, what I'm saying is, regardless of who we may think we are, we're not hiding anything from the eyes of God.
That's right.
God sees everything.
Yes.
You're not hiding. I'm not hiding anything from Him.
Right.
In this passage, we see the truth that, Jesus right here, while the multitudes were following Him, He also knew the deepest secrets of the hearts of those who appeared to be the most committed to Him. Did you know that I could probably go around this room here tonight or this morning and the people that I would pick out seem to me the most committed in their hearts, and Jesus sees the heart, they may not be the most committed ones.
Right.
The most committed ones may be the ones out here that nobody's seeing what they're doing. And nobody knows what's going on and how committed they are fulfilling the ministries of the Lord. But did you know something? The one that really matters is seeing them. And He sees what we do. He sees our hearts. And so He says right here, when the Lord looks at your life, what does He see? He looks at your life. Does He see absolute commitment to the faith? Or does He see a life that wants an experience and lacks the commitment? Oh, preacher, you just get somebody in there to sing something that'll rouse me up and get me excited and make me feel good and I'll come. But if you get up there and you start preaching about duties and responsibilities and all those kind of things that goes against my flesh, I'll look for me a place somewhere else.
That's right.
And a lot of those people have done that. And I hope that they're happy where they went. I hope they are. Some people just feel like it's better for them somewhere else. But I'm led to believe that I'm not going to change. I just want to stick with the book.
Amen.
I just want to stick with this.
Right.
I just want to preach the truth.
Right.
What do you have if you only have sensationalism?
Come on.
And so that's what they wanted. They wanted to see Jesus doing all the miracles. And so, nothing and no one is hidden from His all-seeing eye. You can't hide from the Lord. You can't hide anything. You and I live in Christ's houses. I cannot see into your heart and you cannot see into my heart. But God sees into every one of our hearts that are here this morning.
That's right.
He sees our hearts. We live in Christ's houses as far as God is concerned. We don't hide anything. What does He see? Recently, I had a conversation with a man who was attempting to hide his lack of commitment behind a smokescreen of excuses. And I hate to get into those kind of conversations with people. They just make every kind of excuse under the sun why that they're not committed to the Lord. And the bottom line is this right here, and say what you will, but there's some people who just absolutely do not want to serve the Lord.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.